Hey there, and welcome to Cyberpunk Librarian, Episode 8, Getting Physical at the Front Desk. I'm Daniel Messer. Welcome back to another episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. My name is Daniel Messer, the Cyberpunk Librarian. And on this episode, we're going to kind of talk about something that's a little bit dark and something that I know a lot of librarians don't like to talk about, especially if they're in customer service or patron services or access services or whatever it's called at your library where you're actually out there dealing with people. And it's sort of a reaction to some seminars and classes I've been attending recently and some books that I've read recently on the subject where they talk about diffusing a situation at the desk where you've got an angry individual at your desk. They're mad about something. It could be overdue fines. It could be a damaged book that they don't believe they need to pay for, whatever. And in these customer service seminars and in these books and things like that, they talk about how to diffuse that situation, how to maybe bring that person back down so they're not as angry and talk with them and hopefully come to some reasonable conclusion, which is fine. There's a book out there called Black Belt Librarian that I recommend. It's not bad, and it's not very big either. You could literally read it on a lunch hour. Very, very short book, very concise, and it's got a lot of good tactics for doing things like diffusing situations at the desk, how, you know, smile at the person, empathize with them, put yourself in their shoes and try and understand their problem from their angle. Things like that. This is nothing new to anyone who's worked customer service for more than a couple years. But there is a sort of dark side to this that no one seems to want to talk about. And if for no other reason, that's good enough reason for me to talk about it. And that is what happens if you have a patron at your desk, a customer, whatever you want to call it, who is not angry. They're belligerent. They are physically belligerent. And they have come in looking for a fight, and by God, they're going to get one. And I don't know, perhaps it's one of those things where librarians do kind of get targeted in some of these situations because we have a reputation for being bookish and academic. We're the nerds. We don't get into martial arts or cage fighting or anything like that. I mean, all of that is fairly true. I know a few martial artist librarians, but most of the librarians I know don't do any martial arts at all. So what do you do when there's someone at your desk who's not angry, they're itching for a fight, and they're going to get one? That's not a good situation to be in, and I'm going to give you some tips on how I've handled that. Now, disclaimer, 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 I am not an expert on this and do not present myself as such. But I used to work in a library that was in a fairly bad part of town, and I used to work the night shift, and we'd have people who were drunk, people who were high, people who would just basically take up residence in the public restrooms and you couldn't get them out. And you just have people come in and they're mad, they're mean. They're not really mad or angry with you. They're not even particularly belligerent towards you. They were belligerent when they got up that morning and took a drink out of the bottle. So we had to deal with that at this library. So what do you do when you've got that customer in front of you and they're not angry, they're belligerent, and you just can't diffuse the situation? What do you do if there's going to be an honest-to-God fight? Well, like I said, I'm not an expert, but maybe I can help you out. Thank you. So probably the sanest advice anyone can give you about getting into a fight is to just not get into a fight. And even when you've got someone in front of you that is itching for a fight, that wants to fight, that wants to get physical, you can still avoid the fight sometimes, even if they're going to be the aggressive person. One of the easiest ways to avoid a fight is never be alone. Never be alone on the desk if you can possibly help it, especially if you're in a place where this kind of thing might be a problem. Have friends, have coworkers, have people around you that can see you and help you, because there is strength in numbers. And there's, you know, also a statistical advantage to having more of you than there are of them. So if you can get friends and coworkers around you when you've got someone that's, you know, itching like this, itching for this fight, that might help diffuse the situation right there, because they're going to see that, you know, they're not just fighting one person. They're going to be fighting multiple people. And with a little luck, they'll start backing down after that. The other thing to do is most customer service desks have a phone on them. So call 911. You don't have to talk to the person. You don't have to talk to the 911 operator. 911 operators are trained in intense situations, and they're trained to listen through the phone to see what's going on. And besides, when you call 911 from the library, it's going to pop up on the 911 operator's screen where you're calling from. So you don't need to talk to 911. You don't need to do anything. Call 911 and just set the phone down. Don't hang up. Just set the phone down. Let them listen. They'll understand pretty quickly what's going on, and they'll understand that if the library has called 911 and they're not talking after they do, that something has gone sideways. Now, you can do that with your own cell phone if you want. So whatever works, just get a hold of someone, just reach out, and if it's 911, they'll figure it out. They'll get someone out to you. That's one of the quickest ways to also diffuse a fight that's about to happen is when people walk in wearing badges and carrying guns. Well, the fight can be pretty much over at that point. Some libraries have panic buttons underneath the customer service desks, maybe even under the reference desk or something like that. Those panic buttons are not decorative. And I've talked to far too many librarians who were almost afraid to use them. Like, is this really a situation that I need to use this panic button? Is this really a situation that it's so bad that I need to press the button? And I don't know how many people are listening to this podcast, but please share this with your friends who work in customer service or in libraries or whatever. If you have a panic button and you find yourself asking yourself whether or not I should use it now, the answer is yes. The answer is always yes. If you have to ask yourself, I feel uncomfortable. I feel like there's a problem that's about to happen. I wonder if I should use the panic button. The answer is yes. Use the panic button. And not only that, this also sets a precedent and it sets an example that if you have a panic button and you're willing to use it, people aren't going to be as quick to start that fight, hopefully, because they know that help is just a couple button presses away. But if you have a panic button and you feel the need to use it, then you should use it. It's not decorative. It's not there for pretty. It certainly doesn't add any ambiance to the desk. It's very functional. I recommend you try it if you need it. So, okay. Beyond that, you've got someone in front of you that's quite literally up in your face. They want to fight. Put things between you and them. There is no good reason for you to come out from around, you know, out from behind the desk. There is no good reason to take the desk out from between you and them. If you've got a barrier between them, that's going to slow them down. And that's exactly what you want. If you can run, run. I'm sure there are places in the library you can lock yourself into and be safe while authorities and police and whatever come handle this aggressive person. But keep things between you and the person, whether it's your desk, your chair, a bookcase, a table, whatever. Keep something between you and them so they cannot touch you. And like I said, when you combine things like this, like having friends and coworkers around, they can see that something bad is happening and they can see you're trying to deal with this. Well, putting something between you and the aggressor slows things down. And when you slow things down, you are taking control of the situation and you are making things happen, because the aggressor does not have the control that he or she would like at that point. And you are slowing the situation down where other people can do things to help you. So by all means, whatever you can keep between you and the aggressor, keep there. Don't come out and face them. Don't think you need to step up and take your swing. You don't. You do not. Keep something between you and them. Buy yourself some time, which is sort of my final thing for avoiding a fight altogether. Buy time. There is no hurry to fight anyone. If someone is in front of you and they look like they're going to take a swing or whatever, step back. Put something between you and them. Get your coworkers. Call 911. Whatever. Buy time. Because the more time you get between them being aggressive and an actual punch being thrown is better for you. That's more time for people to show up and back you up. That's more time for the police to respond to the situation. That's more time for someone to step up and take this person down that is being aggressive towards you. Buy some time. There is no hurry to fight. But that being said, we're going to have to go into the next phase of this where you are getting into a fight. Now, I have been in a fight on the job, and I'm going to just briefly touch on that because I'm not proud of it. I don't feel good about what happened. After all these years, I still don't feel good about what happened. But the short story is, I worked in a library where we had some kids come in after school, and some of the kids did not get along. And it could be that I saw some psychological connections, because the kids that didn't get along were typically sort of the nerdy, academic, book smart kids and the sort of popular jockish type kids. And there was one boy there who kind of just got into this war of words with one of the jocks. And right or wrong, no matter what was said, when the jock kid throws the punch, he's automatically wrong, because this bookish sort of nerdy boy had no intention of fighting this guy. So a punch was thrown and he literally knocked this poor kid out of a study room that we had. It wasn't really a study room, but it was used for that. It was more like a small storage area where we had some reference materials and things like that. But there was a table in there and people generally studied in that room. So he literally knocked this poor boy right out of the room. Well, at that point, it's not avoiding the fight. The fight has already happened. And I've got someone in my library that's hitting one of my customers, and it happens to be a kid. So automatically I have a problem with this. I did not have a chance to dial 911 because I figured this guy is going to finish this fight in his way, and I did not want that to happen. Now, the boy that was throwing the punches was taller than I am and was heavier than I am, because he's like an athletic boy, and I am not a tall man. I am only 5'4". So, yeah, this kid had height on me. He had weight on me. So I'm going to discuss what happened and the tactics I used there to defuse the situation, because not another punch was thrown after the first one. I want to make that very clear. This jock kid hit the nerdy kid, and that was the only punch that was thrown, yet the fight stopped right after that. And I don't want to take credit for what happened, but I know that he was going to throw more punches. I just know it because he was coming after this poor kid on the ground now. So, what did I do and how can it help you? Well, I should have called 911. Looking back, I probably should have. It doesn't take anything to pick up the phone, dial 911, set the phone down, and go deal with it. But I just didn't. I felt time was of the essence. Looking back on it, hindsight being what it is, being perfect vision, I probably should have called 911, but I didn't. If you have the time to call 911, do it. Just like I said, you don't need to talk to the operator. Call it. Don't hang up. Just call 911 and set the phone down. They're going to listen through the phone, and they're going to start sending people to your location. The other thing is I have some training in martial arts, but I've noticed that in real life, it means nothing. Because you can have all of the black belts that you want, you're not going to be in a sort of staged competitive fight. If it's a real life fight, it's not competitive. It is very, very serious, sometimes deadly serious. So I was already at a disadvantage because I'm shorter and I'm not as heavy as this kid. And this is where I want to sort of throw out ideas for librarians, because not to sound sexist, but there are a lot of women in our profession, and some of them are fairly demure and smallish, and they have the same problem I do. The person that's being aggressive is probably taller than they are, and they probably outweigh them. So, you're going to be in a fight, and I want to stress this to the utmost. You're going to be in a fight, but there is no reason you need to fight fairly. This whole idea of a fair fight in real life does not work. It doesn't work in club situations where you have a bouncer. It does not work in bar situations where, you know, there's a barroom brawl or whatever. The only time you ever have a fair fight is in professional or semi-professional or whatever amateur competition. And the reason they make those fights fair is so people don't get too badly hurt. But you're not in a competitive situation. You are in what could be a life or death situation, and you need to even your odds. And not only do you need to even the odds, you need to extend those odds beyond anything that this person is willing to deal with. So, the first thing I did when I started approaching this boy, because he had no fear of me. I'm a librarian. I'm just a guy. And he's already taken care of one problem. He figures he can take care of me just fine. And to be honest, he probably could. If this kid hit me, he probably knocked me down just as good as he did this other boy that he hit. I'm already disadvantaged, so I even the odds. And the first thing I did as I approached him was grab one of those good, strong, solid wooden library chairs. I bet you all know what I'm talking about. It's the kind of chair that sits around the tables out on the public floor of your library and probably weighs 15 pounds or something like that. The thing is heavy, it's built to last, and it is a huge hunk of lumber to be hoisting over your shoulder as you approach someone, telling them to get out, or there's going to be an even bigger problem than they are willing to deal with. So, with that, I did a couple things. I evened my odds, which is the first thing. He may have height and weight, but now I have a weapon. Beyond that, I not only have a weapon, I have it cocked back over my shoulder, and I am making sure in no uncertain terms that he knows I will use that weapon. I'm not playing. I'm not threatening. I'm going to finish this fight if I have to. So there were the two things that sort of happened. I got a weapon. I made sure that this person knew I was going to use it. If you don't have that luxury available to you, throw things. Get a chair. Get a club. Get a book. Have you ever, like, really hefted an encyclopedia or a book that is of that weight? Can you imagine what would happen if you hit someone with that? And this is not a time to be thinking, well, you know, that person doesn't have a weapon. Is this a measured response? You are not in a situation at that point where measured response matters. You are in a fight. There is no such thing as measured response in this kind of fight because someone is trying to hurt you. Measured response comes later. Measured response comes when they are down on the floor, you have hit them with the chair, and now you're standing over them pounding their head with the chair. Now we're talking about measured response. And we can get into that here in a few minutes. But if you are going to be in this fight, even the odds, and extend them as far as you can in your favor, there is no reason to fight fairly, and you can absolutely assure yourself that the person that's trying to fight you is not going to fight fairly either. So throw things. Get a chair. Get a club. Get something that's going to not only inflict damage, but this goes back to the whole avoiding the fight thing. I have a chair. I now have something that I can literally put between this person and me. That's good. The other thing is, this goes back to one of those sort of darkly humorous things from Murphy's Laws of Combat, that one of the easiest ways to win a battle is to bring friends. There's safety and strength in numbers. I've said that before. So if you've got someone who is literally going to throw a punch at you or already has thrown a punch at you, try and have friends around. Try and have people that are going to even these odds even more. And if they bring weapons, that's fine. I don't care, because at that point you're in a fight. Okay. So going back to what had happened to me, I approached this boy with a chair in my hands and cocked back over his shoulder. And if you don't think I was going to hit him with it, you are absolutely silly, because as soon as I got within range, I was going to hit him with this chair. I was going to take him down. The bully decided that maybe I wasn't worth this kind of trouble, and that maybe he might have started enough trouble already, and he turned and ran. Which is fine. I did not really chase him so much as I made sure that he left the library. And after that, that's fine. That's enough. This person is gone. Disengage. You do not have to keep the fight going, and there is no good reason to prolong a fight. So if the person you're fighting decides that you're not worth it and disengages and runs, perfect. On the flip side, if you do need to use that weapon, or you do need to knock this person down, or you do need to fight, once you can disengage and run, do it. Get out of there. Go put something in between you. Go back to all the tips I told you about avoiding the fight. Get friends and coworkers. Call 911. Panic buttons are not decorative. Put things between you and the aggressor. You don't have to continue the fight. So, if you can disengage, do it. So that's exactly what happened in this sense. He disengaged. Now, if he didn't, now we can talk about measured response. Now we have to play what if, and I hate playing what if with these situations, but we're going to have to just for the example. What if I did have to hit him? What if he thought he was going to just step up and he's going to show me who's boss, and I cold cock him up the side of the head with this chair? And I would have, folks. I'm not trying to be a tough guy. He's already hit someone. He's already hurt someone. He has already assaulted a person in my library, and that person happened to be a minor. I do not put up with this. So what if I did have to hit him? Well, I would like to think that if I hit him with this chair, he probably would have gone down. And if he had gone to get back up, I would have hit him with the chair again. And I would have continued to do so until he stays down. Now, at that point, that is where your measured response comes in. This goes back to, once you can disengage, do it. If you have landed that, you know, that knockout blow, and this person is on their back, and they're not going to get up under their own power, back off. Get away from them. You're done. This fight is over. Disengage. Get out. Let people who are not you handle this situation now, because this person is no longer the threat that they once were. Get out. Anytime you can disengage, do it, because there's no good reason to prolong this fight, okay? Okay, fight's over. Hopefully you came out on top, which is another thing that we need to talk about real quick. You're not always going to come out on top. Things happen. And you have to understand that the person walking into your library knows there's going to be a fight. You don't. So be as safe as you can. Know your zones. Watch people. You can tell when something is wrong, especially if you've worked there any amount of time. So hopefully you came out on top. And if you didn't, I hope there were people there to help you. Because there is absolutely no reason any employee should ever be alone on a public floor. So, okay, fight's over. We're going to assume you're okay, or at least fairly okay. You've disengaged, which is exactly what you needed to do. As soon as you can calm down a bit, because that adrenaline is going to be flowing. After I was done with the chair, I literally put the chair back down on the ground and I sat in it. Because my hands are shaking, my heart is racing, I'm breathing fast. Because as far as my body knew, I was going to be in a fight. I was going to get hurt, I was going to take damage, and I was going to dish damage out as best I could too. Sit down, calm down. Just get your wits about you again. And as soon as you can, try and start documenting what happened. Write down, you know, just a few sentences as to what happened. Anything you think might be important, put it down. It doesn't have to be a sentence. It can be a phrase. Maybe you know this person. You know who they are. Just write the person's name. You don't know exactly what time things happened, but when you look up at the clock, it's now 2:45 in the afternoon. Write that down. Now you have a time. You've established a time. At least you established a time when things stopped happening. Write down as much as you can. Don't worry about grammatical stuff. Don't worry about how your sentence structure looks. Don't worry about any of that. You are documenting things. You are taking notes on something that has just happened to you. The reason you want to write this down is to protect yourself and your library. Because it's also a given that the person who was trying to fight you or did fight you isn't going to do this themselves. So when it comes down to it, one person has a story that is documented and can talk about the situation and has times, dates, names, occurrences, what happened, and an order of occurrence. And the other person has a story. So write down as much as you can and, you know, as soon as you can so you can remember what happened. Hopefully the police have been called, and if they haven't, make sure they're called. A fight has happened. You need a cop there. The police will want to talk to you, so make sure you know what you're talking about. That's why you need to settle down a little bit. That's why you need to breathe. That's why you need to document things. The police are going to want to talk to you. They're probably going to want to talk to witnesses. If they catch the person or whatever, you may be asked to identify the person. So be ready to deal with the police. Now, don't panic. Stay calm. And if you feel you need a lawyer, then that's okay. You are entitled to a lawyer under several hundred laws in America. You may be 100% in the right. You may be a victim. You are totally the victim in this situation. That may not mean that you don't want or deserve a lawyer. If you think you need a lawyer, then get a lawyer. The police, I'm sorry, this is not Law and Order. This is not CSI. This is not some TV drama. The police understand this thing. And they understand why you might need a lawyer, especially if you're a public employee. You might need a lawyer just to talk to the police anyway. There could be policy on that. So if you think you need a lawyer and you're entitled to one. So that's fine. But don't panic. Stay calm. Answer questions as best you can, or at least as reasonably as you think you ought to until you get your lawyer. Like I said, I'm not a lawyer. This is not legal advice. But I will include a link in the show notes of a police officer and an attorney talking about why you don't just talk to the police without a lawyer. Some of their stuff does come off as a little paranoid, but the paranoia sort of dies down when you realize that the people telling you don't talk to the police without a lawyer, one of them happens to be a cop. So, Don't panic. Stay calm. Talk to the police as you feel is appropriate. Make sure you know what you're talking about. If you have your documentation, you've been writing things down, give them a copy. Do not give out your original. Keep your original and give a copy out whenever you need to. And eventually you're going to wind up turning that original over to HR anyway, or whatever your policies are. Document everything, write it down, talk to the cops. So that's about it. I mean, it doesn't sound like much, and it's not, really. In the end, the fight that I got in at work had a fairly happy ending. This kid had fairly superficial injuries. As I recall, he had a bloody nose and a bit of a black eye. That's not too bad. The kid that hit him was arrested just down the street, because after I got my wits about me, I did exactly what I just told you about. I started writing things down, and I knew who this person was that had hit this boy. So yeah, I called the police and I gave the police this person's name and said, you know, not only am I a witness, but I got into the, you know, I was involved in the fight. The police did come and talk to me. They were very nice, very professional. They had had a history with this person. So basically all they were doing was getting all the documentation they needed to make the arrest and take this person to jail. And that is exactly what happened. So my thing had a happy ending. Obviously, try to avoid a fight whenever possible. But if you're going to get into one, do not feel you need to fight fair. Do not feel that you need to be the consummate professional here. Professionalism goes out the window when someone is throwing a punch at you. At that point, you need to take care of you. Once you can disengage, get out of it. Do it. Run. There's no cowardice in running. There isn't, especially if this is the person who started the fight, because in the end, that person hopefully goes to jail and you go back to work. So if you can run and get out and disengage, do it. And finally, document everything. Write down as much as you can remember, as soon as you can remember, and talk to the police as you feel appropriate. I'll have links to some of this stuff in the show notes, of course, cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. And I believe that's it for now. This is not one of those subjects that I like to talk about. It's certainly not technology related. But it came about, and it's one of those things where I think I have at least something of an edge here, because where these people talk about diffusing the situations, I'm one of the unlucky few who was in a situation that just simply could not be diffused. Stay safe out there, folks, okay? So thank you for tuning into this episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. I know it wasn't the happiest or the funniest thing I've ever done for this show, but I hope you did pick up some ideas and some tips and tricks, because quite frankly, there's just some situations out there that cannot be diffused with a smile and empathy. Sometimes you just got someone who wants to fight. Either way, hopefully within the next couple weeks, we'll have a better episode of Cyberpunk Librarian that's not so dark and not so dismal. If nothing else, there'll always be the music, and the music that you're listening to right now is My Time Machine by the Polish Ambassador. You can pick that up on the Free Music Archive at freemusicarchive.org. If you ever need any kind of tune or song or something cool like that for a podcasting project or something along those lines, dig on the Free Music Archive at freemusicarchive.org. They've got some great stuff there that you'll just not hear on the radio, because some of it's too crazy for radio and some of it's just too damn good for radio. So check them out, freemusicarchive.org. The opening track, as always, is Belly Dance at Ebisu by Ryo Miyashita, and I'll have links to both of these songs in the show notes, which you can pick up at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. you want to get a hold of me, I certainly recommend that you do. I have the emails that I check and check often. You can hit me up at cyberpunklibrarian@gmail.com. That's cyberpunklibrarian@gmail.com. You can also hit me on Twitter. I am @Bibrarian. That's @BIBRARIAN. It's like librarian, but with a B. And if you're feeling particularly geeky, you can pick me up on Google Plus. I am at @DanielMesser. So you can hit me up at google.com/Daniel Messer. I'll have links to all of that stuff too. So thank you for tuning into this episode. I hope to see you again in the next couple weeks when we get a new episode out and running. This one puts me back on the proper schedule after being sick for a week. So we're back on our normal bi-weekly schedule. So I hope you pick me up next time the podcast shows up in your podcatcher of choice or on iTunes or your iPhone or your Android or just on your computer, whatever works for you. In the meantime, I'll see you the next time we get together. Just want to remind you that you don't always have to be high tech to be low budget, but it certainly helps if you're a cyberpunk. Take care now.